Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. And if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles with today's message, I'm going to be preaching from 1 Corinthians in the New Testament, Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians, chapter 1 and chapter 2. I'm going to preach several messages leading up to a passage of Scripture that I refer to quite often on this program because it is such a broad truth concerning the state of man by nature, the state of all people by nature. And I've had people ask me about this too. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. But let me say this, the title of the message today is The Power and the Wisdom of God. The power and the wisdom of God. And of course, we'll begin over here in 1 Corinthians 1:17, because it's teaching us there that Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, crucified, is the power and wisdom of God. Now, how does that work out? What does that mean? What does that involve? That's what we're going to deal with. But I'm leading up to the truth that is set forth in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If you're open to 1 Corinthians 1, just look across the page to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, where it says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him." That is, their foolishness, the things of the Spirit of God, the truths that the Holy Spirit reveals in God's Word, the written Word, and in the preaching of the Word. Those truths are foolishness unto the natural man. Neither can he know them. That is, he can't understand. He cannot understand them savingly. I mean, he can know what we say. The natural man, when I preach the gospel, if you're an unbeliever, you can know exactly what I'm saying. Now, but do you understand it to the point that you see this as truth? That you see this as something that is vital concerning the issue of faith and repentance. Faith is knowledge. Repentance is a change of mind. And he says in verse 14, because they are spiritually discerned. They're spiritually evaluated. They're spiritually understood. And who is the natural man? Well, the natural man speaks of all mankind, all people, as we are naturally born into this world, as fallen, ruined, spiritually dead, and depraved sinners. Now, you may not think that describes you, but the thing, what the Bible teaches, and this is what I'm concerned with on this program. I'm not concerned with our opinions, and I'm not even concerned with our natural view of things. What I'm concerned with is, what does God's Word teach us? Because that's the wisdom and power of God, the power and the wisdom of God. That's what God reveals. And if the Bible is not your rule of faith and your rule of practice, then how can you call yourselves a Christian? Many do. There are people today who call themselves Christian, yet they ignore what the Bible says. Or they're either ignorant of it, or they just ignore what it says. Well, the natural man is an unbeliever, one who is ignorant of the things of God, the things of the power and the wisdom of God. He's an unregenerate person. And I'm going to go back to 1 Corinthians 1:17 and start there and work my way up through this to this verse to show you the context of this so that you can understand it. But before we go to 1 Corinthians 17, turn over to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Now here, the Apostle Paul, as he was guided by the Holy Spirit, gives us a real description of the natural man or the natural woman. Mankind in a fallen state. The Bible teaches that we fell in Adam into a state of sin and death, and because of that, we are born naturally, spiritually dead. Now, what is spiritual death? Well, spiritual death is the absence of spiritual life. And so, what he says, the natural man receiveth not spiritual things, the truths that glorify God. And Paul writes in chapter 2, in verse 1 of Ephesians, he says, "And you hath he quickened." Now, you might see, if you have a King James version of the Bible, you might see that the term "hath he quickened" is in parenthesis, and or not in parenthesis, but in italics. And what that suggests to us is that it was not in the original manuscript, but that the King James translators added that. And when you see things like that, you've got to ask yourself, why did they do that? Well, what he's talking about here is those who have been quickened. That means given spiritual life. They've been born again by the Spirit. That's what Christ said to Nicodemus. You must be born again. Now, why is it? Because as we are naturally born, we're spiritually dead. So even though the King James translators added this, it does not deny or embellish the truth that Paul is writing up here. It really enhances it. So he says, "And you hath he quickened, you've been born again, who were previously dead in trespasses and sins." Wherein, verse 2, now here's the natural man, "wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world." Now when you read passages like this, you have to understand that when he talks about the course of the world, he's not limiting that to the immoral, perverted faction of humanity. This would include the most religious, dedicated, sincere people who are in false religion, even false Christianity. You see, false religion, even that which comes in the name of Christ, but denies the spiritual things of the truth of Christ, is worldly. It's ungodly. Christ called it iniquity in Matthew chapter 7. It's the broad road that leads to destruction. So when you read these, don't just think of people who are the drunks and the drug pushers and the prostitutes and all of that. Don't just think of them. You see, this refers to anyone who doesn't know, trust, and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. This refers to one who is going about throughout his or her life seeking to establish a righteousness by which to be recommended unto God, working hard in it. And that's the course of the world. He says, "wherein in time past you walked according to the course of the world." Think of Saul of Tarsus. The Apostle Paul is the one whom the Holy Spirit used to write these words. Think of him. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, as touching the law blameless. He was walking according to the course of the world, the ungodly, fallen, sinful, unregenerate world. And he says, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's Satan, who inspires false religion now. Satan just doesn't hang around in the bars and the brothels and the drug dens. He's in the pulpits of churches where Christ is not preached in the glory of his person and the power of his finished work, his righteousness. And so you need to understand that. You say, well, that's foolishness. All right. That's what he said. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. And he says, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. In the Bible, the children of disobedience are unbelievers, those who do not trust and follow Christ, those who are not submitted to His righteousness as the only ground of salvation. And verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation, our conduct, our walk in times past in the lust of our flesh. Now we have to understand, that's not just talking about sinful, fleshly, sexual lust. It's also talking about any unlawful desire. I'll give you an example. When Cain, remember Cain and Abel? When Cain approached God on the basis of the works of his hands, he was fulfilling a lust, an unlawful desire of the flesh. My friend, it's unlawful to desire salvation anyway. It's unlawful to desire righteousness anyway, but God's way. And so he says, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature, there's that term again, as we are naturally born, the children of wrath, even as others. In other words, those who are children of wrath. Now, who are those? Well, here's a person born into this world, spiritually dead, who never hears the gospel, never comes to faith in Christ, and dies in unbelief. That's a child of wrath. It's an unbeliever. And what he's saying is that if we're saved, if we're born again by the Spirit, if we've been quickened, if we believe in Christ, we have to understand that we were by nature no different than that person who goes through life and dies in unbelief. No different. In other words, what he's saying is my salvation, it's by grace. It did not come from my goodness. It did not come from my so-called free will. It came from God's sovereign grace through the Lord Jesus Christ and based on His righteousness alone. Now, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now here, as I said, we're going to lead up through that, go through these scriptures, and then it takes several messages. But he says in 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Well, what is foolish? Well, look at 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 17. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 17. And Paul writes here, he says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, he'd been talking about the Corinthian church was a church that had a lot of problems, and there were divisions within the church over preachers. Some of them said, we follow Peter. Some said, we follow Paul. Some said, we follow Apollos, who was an evangelist, a Greek evangelist. And some said, we don't follow anybody, we just follow Christ. And there were divisions over preachers. And some of them were bragging. Well, Paul baptized me, or they'd say, Peter baptized me, or Reverend so-and-so baptized me. And Paul said, I thank God I didn't baptize any of you. He didn't want anyone to brag about being baptized by him. He says, the preacher is not what this is about. It's all about Christ. It's all about Christ. And he said, besides, Christ didn't send me to baptize. Now, that doesn't mean that baptism is not an important element in the Christian faith. Believer's baptism, which is baptism by immersion, not sprinkling, not pouring, and not infants, but it's believer's baptism. That's what, when the Ethiopian eunuch asked Philip, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, do you believe? You see, that's what it's about. Baptism is a Christian ordinance given by God, Christ, by God in human flesh, Christ to the church, as a public confession of Christ. It's a public identification with him. Baptism does not save you. It does not wash away your sins. You see, Christ saves sinners, and his blood washes away their sins. It's his blood that's the payment for sin. Baptism doesn't even apply the blood of Christ. That's applied in the hearts of people by the Holy Spirit. And see, God justifies his people based upon Christ's righteousness, which is the merit of his blood, his obedience unto death, imputed to his people. And see, that's by nothing we do. But once God brings us to faith in Christ, once he gives us spiritual life, quickens us under the gospel and brings us to faith in Christ, we're to confess that in believer's baptism. But that's not the goal. You know, when I was a young man in seminary, and I didn't know the gospel then, I wasn't hearing it in seminary, you know, a lot of the talk was, how many did you baptize? Well, it doesn't matter. Christ didn't send me to baptize. I'll baptize anyone who believes the gospel and wants to confess Christ before men. But that's not the mainstay of the ministry. And that's what Paul's saying. Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Now, what is the gospel? Well, it's the gospel is the good news of salvation by God's grace through the Lord Jesus Christ based upon his blood, his righteousness. In Romans 1:16 and 17, the Apostle Paul wrote, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God." Now, the title of this message is The Power and the Wisdom of God. And that's what he's talking about. Christ crucified, the gospel is the power and the wisdom of God. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the Greek also, or the Gentile. Verse 17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith," that is, from the gospel doctrine and truth preached, to faith, the gift of faith that God gives us to believe, "from faith to faith, as it is written, the just," or the justified, "shall live by faith." What is it to be justified? It's to be forgiven of all my sins. It's to be declared righteous in God's sight, not guilty. How can that be, you see? Well, behold the power and the wisdom of God, and that's in Christ. You see, I'm forgiven based upon his death, his blood, the cross. And I'm declared righteous based upon the merit of his death, his blood, the cross. I have a righteousness that answers the demands of God's law and justice. I have a righteousness that saves me, justifies me. I have a righteousness that will give me life from God. I have a righteousness that will bring me into glory. And what is it? It's Christ's righteousness accounted, charged to me. I didn't have anything to do with it. He did it all. The Bible says, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." Hebrews 10:14. And so Paul says, that's the reason Christ sent me to preach the gospel. He says in verse 17, "Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." Now what he's saying there is that Christ, when he sends his preachers out to preach the gospel, they don't have the liberty to manipulate God's word with human wisdom and human words that will remove the offense of it, remove the truth of it, or water it down, the wisdom of words. You see, man always thinks he has a better way than what God does. Man actually, by nature, thinks that he knows better than God. Think about that. There are people today, their worship services are not scriptural. It's all about emotion and feeling. They judge the Spirit's presence by emotion and feeling and not by truth. And why do they do that? Because they think they know better than God. And that's what it means to preach it with the wisdom of human words. We use human words, but we base our human words based upon God's word. In other words, that's why I tell you, don't believe it just because I say it. Somebody said, "Well, that preacher is such an eloquent preacher." Well, that's not the issue. Does he preach God's word? Or that preacher is such an entertaining preacher. He can hold your attention. Well, that's okay if he's preaching God's word. But she tests the spirits. Try the spirits, the Bible tells us. And he says, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Look at verse 18 now. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And then later on, he says it's the wisdom of God too. Now, remember we read over in 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. Well, what's he talking about? He's talking about the preaching of the cross. What is the preaching of the cross? Well, it's the preaching of the gospel that reveals and sets forth the glorious person and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ in his obedience unto death as the surety, the substitute, and the redeemer of his people. That's what it is. Now, what is he saying here? You know, when I was a young man, I went to seminary, and I didn't know the gospel then. I went there to try to see if I could study the Bible, to find out what the Bible really teaches. And when I got in seminary, one of the required courses that we would take was Christian philosophy. Now, you know, Christian, the word philosophy means love of wisdom. And so Christian philosophy ought to be to study the wisdom of God. Well, here it is. It's in the Bible. But we very rarely open the Bible in our Christian philosophy class. What we studied is the philosophy of great thinkers, human thinkers of the past, some who claimed to be Christians, some who didn't. But you see, what Christian philosophy is to do is to give the Christian worldview. Well, what is the Christian worldview? Well, listen to these scriptures again. Now, don't let this pass by you. He says, verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." In other words, when I preach the glorious person and the finished work of Christ as they are taught and revealed in the Bible, all right, to the unbeliever, that's foolishness. I'll show you in a minute, just a minute. "But unto us which are saved," the tense of the verb, all right, both verbs, verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that are perishing." They're in that state of perishing. It's foolishness. "But unto us which are saved," or who are being saved, that is continually kept by the power of God. It is the power of God. That's what it is. And what he's shown us there is the Christian worldview. Everything is to be judged, is to be evaluated as it relates to the preaching of the cross. Now, what is the preaching of the cross? Well, it's not a piece of wood. It's not something you wear around your neck or tack up on your wall. It's not a crucifix. Those things mean nothing. What it is, the preaching of the cross, is the preaching of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is none other than God in human flesh without sin. That's the glory of his person. "Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." Matthew 1:21, when the angel told Joseph, about Mary, "She shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." He's not going to just try to save his people. He's going to save his people. How do you know he can do it? Matthew 1:23, "His name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us." No one like Christ. Great is the mystery of God. He is the embodiment of the wisdom of God. Read Proverbs chapter 8 sometimes when it talks about wisdom personified. That's Christ, set up from before the foundation of the world. And so, he is God, man. And what did he, that's who he is, and what did he accomplish? In his death on the cross, he guaranteed and ensured the salvation of every person for whom he died. They're called his sheep. They're called God's elect. They're called his church. They're called his brethren. They're called his seed, his offspring. You see what I'm saying? In other words, not one person for whom Christ died will perish. How do you know if Christ died for you? And somebody said, well, I thought he died for everybody. He didn't. Or everybody would be saved. That's the preaching of the cross, you see. Whoever Christ hung on that cross for, they shall be saved. Is that foolishness to you? Well, it's foolish to them that don't believe. But it's the wisdom and the power of God to them who are being saved. And what he's talking about is in the death of Christ, in the book of Daniel, Daniel prophesied that. He said he'll make an end of sin. He will finish the transgression. He will make reconciliation for iniquity, that is, for the iniquity of his people. And he will bring in everlasting righteousness. The preaching of the cross is the preaching of the establishment of the righteousness of God. And righteousness demands salvation. The wisdom of God, think about it. Look at verse 19 of 1 Corinthians 1. He says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. This is talking about God's view of human wisdom when it comes to salvation. The wise there, those who are wise in the things of the world, but they don't know the things of God. There are many people who are very wise when it comes to finances. They're very wise when it comes to physical health. They're very wise when it comes to education. But they are totally foolish and ignorant when it comes to how God saves sinners. Who Christ is. Who God is. Who we are, the natural man, sinful and depraved. Who Christ is and the way of salvation, they have not known. And so that's the why. And the prudent there are the intelligent. Those who are very intelligent people in the things of the world. But when it comes to a right relationship with God, God has made it nothing. It's all in Christ. Now we'll pick up there next time, and I hope you'll join us next time for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.